Celebrate May Day with the station that supports workers' struggles everywhere.
27 migrant strawberry packers in Greece, unpaid for 6 months, were shot by their employer when they asked to be paid. That's why international solidarity matters.
Vote for blind workers.
Have some vision.
Change your decision.
We want everybody coming back safely, getting back to work.
What kind of sacrifices do you make working these hours on Saturdays and Sundays?
It's sickening. They've got no idea what it's like for people who go to work on weekends and have to work overnight and what it takes for them to make ends meet.
From 7am, Monday, May 1st, tune in to hear from diverse community activists as we talk solidarity and resistance in celebration of May Day 2017.
We will be there to support you all along, and we thank you very much for your commitment, and we will have a victory.
It's our 9:30. You're on May Day now. Happy May Day, everybody. I'm James McKenzie, here till 10 o'clock, interviewing Safe Schools founder and queer activist Roz Ward, followed at 9:45 by Liz Ross from the Gay and Lesbian Archives, talking all about the history between the union movement and the GLBTI communities and campaigns here in Melbourne. Welcome, Roz Ward, to 3CR. It's fantastic to have you on board.
Thanks very much for having me.
Look, the Herald Sun, let's start with Safe Schools. They can't They can't print the words Roz Ward without including Marxist. What's your response to their coverage of you?
Well, the Murdoch Press very interested in me, it seems, in the last year.
Obsessed,
yeah. They really like to write about me. They like to quote what I've got to say about Marxism, which is kind of interesting, kind of good in some ways, because there's a readership out there that doesn't normally get to hear some Marxist polemics, so they've got a bit of a taste of that. But yeah, it's been a full-on year for me and for Safe Schools Coalition and everyone involved in it, and that has really been pretty driven by the media and the right in politics.
Of course, Safe Schools make safe and inclusive spaces for same-sex attracted and gender-questioning students, both in some primary schools and secondary schools. How successful has it been?
I think it's been very successful. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why there's been this kind of backlash in response, because so many schools have wanted to take on board what Safe Schools is all about. We've had, we've worked with literally hundreds of schools now in Victoria, thousands of teachers, you know, there's tens of thousands of students who've been affected by the program in really positive ways. And I think at that level of kind of education as a kind of universal platform for ideas, there's a bit of a battle going on, I think, around the kind of ideas that some people want to have young people think about and ideas that they definitely don't want young people thinking about.
It's interesting, actually, because the Herald Sun is so often overlooked. The bullying components that you're combating with Safe Schools, and in actual fact, hasn't really grasped the concept that by attacking you and attacking Safe Schools, they're also attacking gender questioning and same-sex attracted young people. That seems lost on them.
And I think that's had a real impact for young people, for students in schools, and we've had a lot of that feedback from schools that, and from LGBTIQ plus groups for young people, where the workers and even, Headspace and some of the helplines and places that people go for support have been really seen a spike in demand because of this debate about safe schools. So in all these commentators who want to say, oh yeah, they agree people shouldn't get bullied, have really contributed to this atmosphere where that discussion has a bullying impact on young people's mental health.
The politics of this, as you alluded to, have been very intense. What's your response to the Andrews government basically taking over the running of Safe Schools as opposed to leaving it with yourself and La Trobe University?
Well, it was a decision that we didn't have anything to do with. It was sort of really out of the blue at the end of last year. So we've been processing through that transition of introducing the new team within the department to the program. But I think in many ways it's not hard to see that as a little bit of a defensive move on the part of the government politically. But at the same time, it would have been unimaginable I think, when we started Safe Schools Coalition in 2010, to think that the Department of Education would have four full-time people specifically employed to address LGBTI inclusive practice in schools. So it's a big step forward in a lot of ways, but I think some of the politics of it, you know, will start to come out a bit and be discussed a bit more.
I mean, just following on from what you just said, the department taking over Safe Schools is actually a victory, isn't it, for the Safe Schools program, because it means that effectively it's becoming a mainstream component of the department, and that's probably a good thing. It's no longer this radical thing that's just too hot for them to touch.
Yeah, in some ways I think that's true, but I don't think that that means it's necessarily protected from a future Liberal government taking it away. I think that would probably still happen anyway. But yeah, some of the ways that we've tried to embed the program within policy, within the general practice within schools, within school policy and stuff, I think is really important for the sustainability. And of course, all the resources that we created are still out there and available and free and online and publicly available all around Australia. So it doesn't necessarily matter where you live, that you can access at least some of the things that we've produced here.
I wonder if the Herald Sun publishing your name is just a respite. I imagine this could be an election issue in 2018, with the Liberals saying they'll abolish it if they get in, the Herald Sun backing that and harking back to you and Safe Schools and your Marxism.
Yeah, and I think maybe if the Andrews government thought that taking my name away from it would somehow make it, you know, a cleaner, more acceptable program, I don't think that's going to be the case, because I think the attacks on me and my personal politics have always been really just a way of actually attacking, you know, it's a way of covering up what is essentially a homophobic and transphobic attack on the ideas of the program, which many more people than me share and in fact developed that, you know. So yeah, it'll be an interesting time to see what happens next in the kind of Safe Schools debate in Victoria.
The Herald Sun never actually said what being a Marxist means. How would you define it?
Well, I think Marxism is really the kind of theory and practice of human liberation. And for me, as somebody who was a queer activist for a long time before I was a Marxist, I think it's a way of trying to think about, when we talk about the way that things are structured, you know, structural oppression, which I think as a lot of queer people we understand that it's kind of built into the system. For me, what Marxism does is help to explain that system and how it works, and also to help us to find a way to challenge those structures of the system and to try and imagine and work towards a better world, a liberated human world, which I think I would call socialism, but I don't mind what you call it. But I think anything would be a big improvement on the system that we live in at the moment.
So queer activism led you to Marxism?
Yeah, it did. It definitely did. And I think there's a lot of frustration sometimes when your politics, you know, like mine, where we're focused around one particular thing from my own personal experiences of, you know, being queer and experiencing oppression in different ways. But that sometimes those things don't really kind of connect. Like it kind of feels like you're up against a brick wall a lot of the time. And so I think the ideas of solidarity kind of bringing together and connecting the struggles of all different oppressed groups is really important. And I think Marxism is a theory, but also a practice and a way of organizing that does do that really more effectively than anything else I've ever found in the world.
How can the queer communities and the left organise to combat right-wing populism in this era of Trump and Le Pen?
Yeah, well, it's a really challenging time. I mean, it's scary. It's really like there's so much in the world right now that I think can sometimes make people want to kind of just disappear, bury their head under the covers or whatever. And I think now more than ever, people need to kind of stand up, look around, get active, join our struggles together, because, you know, the far right, what we do know is that a lot of the time they're given oxygen kind of by the centre of politics, that a lot of the ideas, I think, that the far right have are really kind of backed up in different ways kind of by mainstream politics. So I think what we need is really a more radical left-wing alternative, an active left-wing alternative. The kind of politics, I think, that, you know, Liz Ross can talk about historically later on, but that brings together the workers' movement with communities of oppressed people and starts to look at class and power and the kind of big questions, I think, that can bring us together.
Madame Le Pen has been very successful at harnessing certain sections of the gay male community in France. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think one of the things that has sort of become universal on the right and very powerful is Islamophobia, as we know. And, you know, one of the things that when some of those gay supporters of Le Pen are asked why they would support her, because she, you know, the National Front in France is just explicitly homophobic and disgustingly so, and historically, you know, over and over again. But what Islamophobia does is it kind of it creates a space to say, like, there are worse, you know, people, that your main problem is going to be with the Islamification, so-called, of society. And as a gay person, it's better for you to be slightly subject to homophobic stuff from the right rather than, you know, killed by Muslims or whatever crazy bullshit that they say about that. And I think some people fall for that. And in some cases, you know, people can be attracted to the idea of power in some ways, I think. And especially for people who've experienced individual oppression, gay men, you know, who want some way of fighting back against what they've experienced, but they definitely pick the wrong person if they think it's Marine Le Pen.
Today, of course, is May Day. When you hear the words May Day, finally, what springs to mind for you?
Well, today I was thinking about the fact that it's 100 years since 1917 and the Russian Revolution, and the kind of 100 years of class struggle and the ups and downs of May Day being this big celebration of working class struggle and pride, and, you know, some of the amazing things that the workers' movement has achieved, not just in the last 100 years, but, you know, since its inception, really. And May Day is a day to celebrate some of that. I think we should definitely hold on to it as a kind of a way that we can celebrate and mark things in our community, because so many other holidays and special days in our calendar are either religious relics or, you know, national patriot kind of crap, like Anzac Day or whatever. Oh, no, I get in trouble now. you know, and May Day is one, I think, for us that we should hold on to and celebrate.
Ros Ward, it's been a great pleasure chatting to you on 3CR. You are a true treasure of the left, and we are so delighted that you came to speak to us on May Day. Thank you.
My pleasure. Happy May Day, everyone.
Up next, Liz Ross from the Gay and Lesbian Archives. Right after these announcements, and you're on 3CR.
Workers' rights, for justice, for fairness. I don't care what colour someone's skin is, I don't care what language they speak, and I don't care where in the world they came from. Because we as workers have got to stand up for every worker having the right to justice and fairness. And every person that arrives in this country, no matter how they got here, no matter where they came from, having the right to be treated with respect and dignity. Every person has the right to respect and dignity.
The real way to commemorate these things is not just on the anniversary, but in the activities that you do every day of the year. What's important is certainly we should have a sense of history and of commemoration and of a degree of ritual. But the important thing is to keep them alive by reenacting them every day in all of our struggles.
May Day Workers' Day celebration, Sunday, May the 7th. Join us to protest the anti-worker policies of the federal government and the drive to war by the US administration. March with the unions, Aboriginal organisations, community and ethnic communities and others. March from Trades Hall, corner of Victoria and Lygon Street, Carlton, 1:30 p.m., followed by a speaker's platform with entertainment, afternoon tea and a concert. Sunday, May the 7th, Trades Hall, 1:30 start. The May Day Committee is a 3CR supporter. Now the lessons of the past were all learned with workers' blood. Mistakes of the bosses we must pay for.
I often feel the only thing standing between us falling off that precipice and actually fighting our way back up the top of the hill is the trade union movement. I really believe that. We have the numbers, we have the commitment, we have the heart, we have the will to really fight. And the only way we're going to win that fight is to grow the union movement.
That was Jed Carney talking up union. Stay tuned to 3CR for more union news. 8:55 on your AM dial or 3cr.org.au.
And it's just after a quarter to ten. You're on 3CR, May Day now. In fact, I'm here till 10 o'clock. And on the line, I have Liz Ross from the Gay and Lesbian Archives, which are based here in Melbourne. Liz is the author of the very comprehensive feature article From Homosexuals at Work to Union Pride. And she joins us on the line. Happy May Day, Liz.
Oh, happy May Day and to all the listeners.
It's wonderful to have you on board. The words May Day, what springs to mind when you hear them?
Well, workers' struggle, workers' solidarity, just a will to fight, and that perennial question, which side are you on?
Now, your article is quite a historic guide to the links and the intersections between the queer rights movements and the unions, dating back to the early days of gay liberation in the early 70s, right through to the modern era. Which campaign intersections interest you the most?
Well, I think all of them, because they all cover a whole range of different aspects of the way that unions more generally have stood up and fought for rights of all their members. So I think I think you can say from the teachers union, which supported a book for young gays in schools called Young Gay and Proud in 1978, to, the unions, the gay movement marching on May Day, homosexuals' right to work, equal rights for everybody, that kind of thing, right through to a wonderful story during the ACT UP, during the AIDS crisis, where ACT UP was concerned about a drug coming through, and a couple of them went into one of the drug companies who wasn't letting the drug through because it was, or they were, but it was going to cost a lot of money. And so they went in and pretended to be researchers, talked to the management, then went back to the Transport Workers Union and said, look, this is what the story is. We want to set up a bit of a picket line. It was a token picket line outside one of the warehouses. Will you support us? And the TWU said, fine. They went back to the management in the factory and said, well, this is what's going to happen. How about changing your policy? And they did. So it was just even the threat of the TWU support for the activists that made a difference. So it was, wonderful stories like that go right throughout the history.
Yeah, there's been a real, hasn't there, mix of blue-collar and white-collar union support for the gay and lesbian and allied communities, including the Plumbers Union. Can you tell us about their support?
Yeah, okay. In 1979, their federal council adopted an anti-discrimination policy, which included, sexual preference, and committed the union to removing discriminatory policies in workplace awards, so taking it right down to the coal front. And Alan Huff, who was the research officer with the Victorian branch, said, the Plumbers Union believes homosexual discrimination is an industrial issue and has to be fought on that basis. So, again, the miscellaneous workers who are now the United Voice Union, they said that unions needed to become active in the fight for the rights of their homosexual members, and include that meant as well including a cross-union ACTU policy. So there were a number of unions like that who recognised that that their members were gay, that they needed, and they needed as many, you know, they needed to have the protection of the union movement, because as much as anything else, it wasn't just that the union sort of stood up for gays. Gays were in the unions fighting for union rights as well. So it was a two-way street. It wasn't just that, you know, some sort of passive response by the union leadership, oh, well, we better do this kind of thing. It was really something quite active and quite determined.
In lots of ways, the union's response to gay rights and especially decriminalisation here in Australia has been stronger than our counterparts in the US, which were often supported by lots of gays and lesbians. But when it came to our issues, the unions over there perhaps didn't support us as strongly. Why do you think the Australian union movement's response to gay rights has been so strong?
Well, I think the Australian union movement's got such a fabulous history of standing up for rights of work, well, for rights of everybody, really. I mean, we had the union standing up in support of the Indonesian independence movement. We had union standing up in support of or against apartheid in South Africa. So there's a sense in which the unions here are both see the sort of the need for international solidarity as well as fighting for rights of workers here. And so, you know, partly because a lot of the unions were influenced by left-wing groups like the Communist Party, they had that kind of political leadership that meant that issues that may not appear to be industrial issues, in fact, were seen to be industrial issues, and so the unions took a stand. I think it's that political... what's the word I can think of, that political leadership that has made a difference. In fact, I wrote a book about gay liberation and the left in Australia, which shows enormous ties between sort of the left and sort of left-wing politics and the fight for gay liberation, which was taken into the unions as well. So I think overall it's that left political leadership that's made the real difference in Australia. And the Americans had that up to about the 1930s, but, you know, was beaten out of them really after that. And they've had a long battle to try to get back to, you know, a better situation. And we're facing that kind of battle today.
One very notable campaign here in Australia, of course, recently was when the National Tertiary Education Union supported Roz Ward when she was stood down by La Trobe University over some comments she made on Facebook, of course, which has changed Roz. She's the founder of Safe Schools. How do you think history will remember the Safe Schools work and its campaign?
Well, I think that will be remembered as being, you know, a basic struggle for workers' rights, but also for the rights of well, I suppose everybody, the rights of everybody to have an education that is free from discrimination. And I think, you know, it has to be said too that the teachers' union, the AAU, did support does support the Safe Schools, you know, initiative and program. They're very strong supporters of it. It wouldn't have been able to be implemented if they weren't. So I think it's going to be remembered as one of the standout fights for rights, both for younger gays, but also for, you know, for unions to be able to protect their members' jobs and to be part of a more progressive view of the world.
To what extent do you think, from a historical perspective, the era that we're living in will be dominated as being the era of gay marriage for the gay community, and history will perhaps record little else about the community? Is that a concern you share?
Yes and no. You see, I think the fight for gay marriage rights is a you know, just like homosexual law reform, is a crucial fight. And sure, there'll be a lens put on a particular view of history, and that's why it's up to us. It's up to, you know, programs like yours to keep on saying, well, you know, there were a whole range of other things as well, and this is how it happened. It's one of the reasons I wrote my book. It's one of the reasons I wrote the article that you referred to, is to bring that history back, you know, into current view, so that people actually do learn and understand what a particular era had achieved, and how that fight is a continuous fight until we really make fundamental change in this society. So I think, you know, people, well, the media in particular, try to make out that, you know, there's just one particular key thing happened and that's all that happened in at a time. But I think increasingly, as groups get sort of more voiced through things, you know, through some of the social media, they're actually getting that story out in a way that we haven't been able to before. And I think that's impacting on people to be able to understand that, yes, it's part of a long-term struggle and, you know, a good highlight of it. I'm not going to in any way denigrate the campaign because I think it's been crucial. I think we have to win gay marriage rights because we can't be second-class citizens anymore.
Liz Ross, thank you so much for talking to me today on 3CR. Happy May Day and congratulations on all of your writings. That article you referred to, of course, is called From Homosexuals at Work to Union Pride. And you're from the Gay and Lesbian Archives and people can go to your website and check out the wonderful things that the Gay and Lesbian Archives provide. Liz Ross, thanks so much for joining me on 3CR and happy May Day.
Happy May Day.
And that was Liz Ross from the Gay and Lesbian Archives. It is 2 minutes to 10 o'clock. I am out of here. Thank you so much for listening to a special broadcast of May Day Now, which is a take on Democracy Now, which will be back between 9 and 10 a.m. next week, next Monday. I'm out of here. I'm James McKenzie. You can catch me on Friday with the wonderful Yvette Keane and our fabulous producer, Mikey Vesio, with In Your Face, a queer issues program broadcast every Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on 3CR. Taking us out is Ginger Tom with United.
Comrades and colleagues would wet fight and fall. Here's a job that pays fair, that's safe and secure, but they padlock the doors, put guards on the gates, but we're ready to talk, we're willing to wait. And we'll fight cause we're right and we're fighting to win, and it's true, united we stand, divided we fall, the union is there for us all, united we fight. Divided we crawl. The union is there for us all. Tell me now, friends, is it true what I hear? The boss takes in a day what I earn in a year. And we'll fight cause we're right and we're fighting to win. And it's true, united we stand, divided we fall. The union is there for us all. United we fight, divided we crawl. The union is there for us all. They can pack up a shop and then send it away. And they'll pay some poor slave a dollar a day. And they don't have the union, they don't have the rights. And the fight for your rights is the fight of your life. And we'll fight cause we're right and we're fighting to win. And it's true, united we stand, divided we fall. The union is there for us all. United we fight, divided we grow. The union is there for us all. United we stand, divided we fall. The union is there for us all. United we fight, divided we grow. The union is there for us all. United we stand, divided we fall. The union is there for us all. United we fight, divided we fall.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.